Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
Well, we are continuing a series that is really kind of broken up into three parts over the summer. On tough questions. And in July, we asked the tough question of how should Christians engage in current culture? And today we're tackling the second tough question in this series, which is, should Christians be involved in politics? And so it's pretty light question. No one has ever really gotten heated about it. So we'll just kind of breeze over it and pray and then be done. But how many of you over the last really 6 years now, maybe, or seven, have either witnessed an argument among friends or family or coworkers, neighbors, whomever, or maybe you've been involved, if you're willing to be honest, in an argument with friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, or whomever over the issue of politics? All right, everybody in here, those who didn't raise your hand, you're not being honest, so we'll pray for you. But I think we can start from this place that we have all at least witnessed the kind of division over the last 7 years over the issue of politics. And I don't know about you, but it grieves me to see what's been happening. And it grieves God's heart. Because I think that God cares about, I know that God cares about people, and God cares when there is divisiveness and disunity, especially in the church. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have made the comment, or maybe you've heard it said, that you're not a political person? You're not a political person. Maybe you've said this, maybe you've heard it said, but usually what is meant by that phrase is that you don't want to be associated with the corruption, the compromise nature, the dirty aspects of politics, the things that we see that we don't want to be connected to sort of bring about this phrase of, I'm not a political person. But the question I want to raise at the beginning here is there an aspect or is faith in any way political? Now, some would say that faith and politics are to be kept in two completely different spheres, that, you know, your faith is totally private. That's a personal, private thing. And that your political the political aspects of your life are what's lived out in the public sphere. Some would say, you know, that those are private and public. Others, termed Christian traditionalists, would say that, well, no laws and policies should be enacted to enforce Christian morality. Still others who are termed political liberalists would say, no, laws and policies should be enacted to enforce Christian justice. But what I want us to think about this morning is that there are aspects of politics. In fact, I would say all of politics is ultimately about people. And you know who cares about people? God cares about people. And when we say that we are people of the book or people who follow the scriptures and Christ followers and the church, we say that Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. Now that's a political statement, isn't it? To say Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. So we are, the church, a political community. Now before someone gets upset right now and leaves, when I say that we are a political community, what I mean is that we are a contrasting community to what the world has to offer. That we are an alternative community to what the world has to offer, where Jesus is Lord and above anything and everything. Ultimately, God has established government to bring about justice and to prevent evil. Justice is one of God's very characters. In Psalm 9:7, the scripture says, "The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment." Jeremiah 9:24 says, "I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So justice is part of God's character. And friends, here's the reality. If we are going to be faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ in this culture, we have to gain wisdom and be able to navigate the arena of politics. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Christ followers in Rome, said this in Romans 13. He says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." And so what we see Paul saying is that ultimately all authority is subject to God's authority. All authority is subject to God's authority. Now, some take this scripture and they go one of two ways. They say, well, look, this is proof positive that we are to give our ultimate allegiance to the government. And others say, well, no, you know, our role is to have passive citizenship because, you know, it's God who establishes governments and we don't have to worry about that or be engaged in any of that. So we just sort of sit idly by. But I don't think it's either of those. There is some sort of middle place in which you and I are to be engaged in politics for the good of others and for the prevention of evil. That is ultimately the role of government. Now, Jesus is in this dialogue in Matthew 22, and it's sort of this back and forth because the religious leaders are trying to trap him with a question. And they ask him a question, and he responds with a question, which in normal discourse is kind of annoying. You know, if you ask someone a question and they respond with a question, how many of us sort of get irritated at that? But, you know, Jesus does that. He's Jesus. He can do that. But we might get irritated at that. But do you know that Jesus in the scriptures asked over 300 questions? One commentator said he asked 307 questions. Now, I did not look up all 307 questions. You know how many direct answers he gives? Eight. And so I think that Jesus has something to say about how to engage with people when it comes to sensitive topics of all nature. Matthew 22, he's asked, "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, verse 18, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." Now, some Christians through the years have taken this verse to mean that There should be no involvement with government, and we owe government absolutely nothing. Christian anarchists, they're termed. But I think Jesus has some wisdom here for how to give a measured response, because if he answers in one way, he's sort of gone against Rome. And if he answers another way, he's isolated the religious leaders and sort of offended Jewish nationalism. But Jesus, I think, presents in this scripture the reality that there are two spheres of life. Augustine called them two cities. You have the heavenly city and you have the earthly city. And each of them function differently. Both of them are still under God's lordship and God's rule and reign, but they function differently. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." These sound like political statements. See, Jesus in Matthew 5 is offering a prophetic vision of an alternative kingdom governed with justice and compassion. So, should Christians care about politics? Absolutely. Because politics are ultimately about people. Are you with me? I don't know. I feel like some of you are still not sure. We'll see. Christians should care about politics because politics are about people. So here's the rub. Over the last 7 years or so, many Christians, not you guys, other people, have allowed their faith to be informed by their politics. That is never the way it's supposed to be. When we allow our faith to be informed by our politics, what we get is some distorted, way-off version of Christianity than what Jesus intended. When we allow our faith to inform our politics, what we get is a sort of tribalistic, exclusive form of legalistic faith that drives people away from the church. And that grieves God's heart. Our faith informs our politics, not the other way around. And here's what I care about most. How we engage in politics serves as a witness for Jesus to a divided culture. Have you ever considered that how we engage in political discourse as a Christ follower has a tremendous bearing on our witness for Jesus in this world? And have you ever considered that at some point, maybe, just maybe, your political discourse has hurt the witness of Jesus in this world? Not you, others. I mean, who among us has not seen an argument start on social media? I mean, because everyone knows social media is the arena in which you should solve tension and political discourse issues with political issues and policies. I mean, I'm off. Somebody hacked my Facebook account about a month ago, 2 months ago. Turned my account into a celebrity singer, apparently. And at first, I was really disappointed. And then I realized, you know what? I don't know that I miss all the neighborhood complaints or arguments or opinions that no one asked for on Facebook. But how many of us have seen that, and how many of us have witnessed the witness of Jesus being damaged by political discourse? There is a better way. Stanley Hauerwas said that the church does not exist to provide an ethos for democracy or any other form of social organization, but stands as a political alternative to every nation, witnessing to the kind of social life possible for those that have been formed by the story of Christ. See, some pastors will run for the hills when it comes to conversations about politics. Some who have, you know, been, some who have been, some have said, you know, you should never talk about politics. I mean, it's like you're gonna isolate people, you're gonna divide people. But listen, my role as a pastor is to help you become more like Jesus. And when I see things that are hurting you and preventing you from becoming more like Jesus, I'm going to talk about them. I'm sorry. I got my car back here, so after the service, I'm just gonna head out that door. Can we open that gate? Somebody go open the gate. I'm never going to shy away from talking about hard things because they have to do with your growth. And some of us, our growth has been stunted because we have been so consumed by politics. Jesus has a better way, and the better way is in Matthew 22. 36 through 40. Again, he's asked another question, another trap, another, hey, gotcha. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. Man, if we follow a mantra that is like, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, be, you know, self-reliant, look out for yourself first. You know, you got to get yours to be successful at the expense of other people. That is in no way associated with the way of Jesus. Love God and love others means that we're others directed, that we're others focused, that we see what God has given us as not for our benefit only, not even for, to terminate with us, but to end and extend for the blessing of others. The church, the body of Christ, is meant to extend for the good of others. Not to be self-reliant, not to be self-directed. And so Jesus's twofold commandment to love God and love others provides for us a lens through which we can view every political issue. Every political issue can be viewed through the lens of Jesus's twofold commandment. It's like a filter that can give us the right perspective. Not as a partisan voter or politician, but as a Christ follower. Seeking God's will and seeking to serve God in every corner of our lives. You know, God's heart is grieved when we allow politics to divide us. Paul says in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. I mean, if you were writing this today, maybe he would add Democrat or Republican, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There are people in this room that are Democrats. There are people in this room that are Republicans. There are people in this room that are politically independent. Because we are a visible witness to a divided world of what it looks like to have Jesus as Lord of all. And we worship a lamb, not a donkey or an elephant. I don't think you got that. We worship a lamb. Not a donkey or an elephant. And listen, you and I have such an opportunity, especially with this next election coming. I know we're all excited about it. What if we viewed this next political season as an opportunity as the church to be a faithful witness of Jesus? To say to the community, look, we have an alternative way. We have a different way, not caught up in tribalism, not caught up in being right, but caught up in the mercy and love of Jesus that invites every person, regardless of political affiliation, to the table. What would it look like? And I know some of you are you've been hurt. by political discourse. You've had people close to you tell you things that you thought you would never hear come out of their mouth. You've had people that you've had meaningful relationships with, maybe over many years, sever their ties with you. And so the hurt is real. The pain is real. And there is a better way. And Jesus, the great master teacher, in teaching us how to pray, I think says something to us about how we should view all of life and even politics. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." There is another place in which we are citizens. That we ultimately are part of God's kingdom. Not this earth, this earthly kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Every effort of our lives and even the political engagements that we have should be for the purposes of bringing about the realities of the kingdom of God to earth. And you know what? That involves both democratic and republican efforts. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Everything that we have comes from above. God is the great giver of all blessings. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What would happen to the political discourse in our nation if tomorrow our local politicians sent out a statement that said, "You know what? I want to forgive my debtors." We would all, our jaws would drop to the floor, right? That would just be so shocking if politicians tomorrow just started forgiving each other, like you saw in Congress on C-SPAN or whatever that channel is, where they hug each other. They're like hugging each other. There's like massive forgiveness. What would happen if the Holy Spirit infused the leaders of our country? See, that's what we should pray for. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2 that we should pray for our leaders. How many of us have had a hard time with that the last 7 years? I mean, let's just be honest. Come on now. Well, we're still commanded by Scripture to pray for our leaders. Because a peaceful and quiet life is what helps us to live faithfully. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. One of the purposes of government is to prevent evil. So yes, we should care about what happens. What I want to encourage you with is that maybe this is a moment of repentance. Maybe over the last few years, if you have committed the sin of putting your political affiliation above your worship of Jesus, that you would take this opportunity to repent. To come back to the truth that Jesus is Lord above all. That every person matters to God, so they should matter to us. That we should seek the welfare of this city. That we should pray for our leaders, that we should be engaged in things that help promote the good of others, that we should see ourselves as bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. We should give the energy of our lives to that, because it is worth giving our energy to that. I know some of you are still listening and you're like, "I don't care about politics." And I'm not asking you to like start reading the news every morning and doing all that. I'm just asking you to get involved in the good of others and speak up when you see injustice and stand in the gap for those that cannot speak for themselves and bless others when you yourself have been blessed and protect the poor and the marginalized. These are the very things that Jesus commands us to do. It's not optional, and it's not political, the commands of Jesus. And what an opportunity we have to be the visible witness of Jesus, that amidst chaos and confusion of political tribalism and division, the church stands high as a witness of Jesus, as a unified body of believers that sparks curiosity, in which others look at us and they say, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they stick together. I don't know how they're so unified. It is because of Jesus that every tongue and tribe and nation comes together to worship Jesus. Jesus be the, we just sang it. Jesus be the center of it all, even my politics. Is that your prayer? I hope that's our prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. God, we ask for your forgiveness when we drift from what you would have us to do, when we drift from you as the center, when we are distracted by discourse that is not godly or wholesome. God, when we get caught up in political tribalism and division, God, we ask for your forgiveness. We repent for those moments in which we worship the donkey or the elephant above the lamb. God, we want to be a people that is a visible witness of Jesus in a chaotic and confused world, especially when it comes to politics. That is what is our power, that is what is our evangelistic fervor, our unity amidst diversity. So God, bring us even closer together. Help us to wake up to the reality that we will have to fight for unity even within these walls. Because the enemy wants nothing more than to use politics to divide us, because it hurts the witness of Jesus. So forgive us, Father. Bring us back to you as the center of it all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.